Welcome to the Impact Church Podcast. This series is titled Light of the World. For Christmas this year, our focus is on how Jesus invades the dark parts of our lives by expelling the darkness. Come, walk with us as we allow Jesus to light up our world.
Praise the Lord. All right, you ready? Are you ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? We're teaching on the light of the world. We're going to talk about the light of the world. Who loves history? Who loves history? Hey, you're in school, you love history? I love history. I enjoy history. I remember the good old days when we used to have those good movies. Remember when Charlton Heston was Moses? Moses. Remember him when he was parting the water, and then you had the robe, and you had all those great Easter ones, and then the Christmas ones, and all those great old movies. It was so good. Well, we're going to do some history today. I'm going to talk to you about a guy named Herod. Herod. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness. It doesn't say the light did shine, didn't say the light showed up one dark day, but John, the Apostle John, who could have given us the most amazing narrative about the most historical, beautiful account of the incarnation, because Mary, he took Jesus' mom, Mary. Mary lived with John from the crucifixion on. John had Mary, the mother of Jesus, in his home, the one who carried that miracle, the one who supernaturally knew that I'm carrying this child, and it's of God. That one was there, so vital in the whole thing. She was there. John could have given us such an amazing narrative. But John summarized it like this: the light shines in the darkness. Settle down. The light shines in the darkness. If there's darkness, if there's any darkness, the light doesn't ask for permission. The light invades darkness. It moves swiftly and it eliminates darkness. It says, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness can never overcome it. So today, hey, it's good. Come on. Today we're going to talk about the three wise men. We're going to talk about those guys and read that passage. But I just want to show you a little cartoon there. There you go. It says, right, we picked up the gold, we got the myrrh, and what is that? So I guess they thought it was gold and myrrh and Frankenstein. Wow, tough crowd, tough crowd. Now, you can get this online. You can get this online. It's actually, you can go to Amazon.ca, and this is a dish towel. They made a dish towel with this on it. What if it was the three women who showed up? They would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. They would have brought some useful gifts, like some Pampers and some stuff for that diaper rash and all that stuff. You know, and, you know, they would have cooked a casserole. Amen. Amen. Those wise guys, though. Give it up for the wise women. Hey. All right, we're going to read the passage out of Matthew chapter 2. Follow along with me on your iPhone, your Samsung, or your whatever you're using. If you're using the real thing, good for you. Underline it and make some notes. Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, after the three kings, these three wise guys, they came. It was probably a year and a half or 2 years after Jesus' birth. But they came, and they came from Bethlehem to Judea in the days of Herod the king. Can you say Herod? Herod. Now, Herod is a guy who in his lifetime, they called him Herod the Great. He was Herod the Great. Now, very few people in their lifetime had the little tag on their names of great. There was Catherine the Great, Peter the Great, Charlemagne the Great. Very few people were called great in their lifetime. But in Herod's lifetime, he was called Herod the Great. Herod built the temple. Herod's temple was beautiful. It was amazing. He built aqueducts. He built theaters, amphitheaters. He constructed many things. He was a brilliant architect, a brilliant builder. He was a great mover of people. Although as great as he was and all the accomplishments and all that he did, he was so wise. He had incredible political savvy, incredible man. But he was also great because he was great in being ruthless. He was great in being absolutely nasty and mean-spirited. He was so paranoid, he was clinging to his reign and his rule, that he would regularly take aside 40 or 50 noblemen. If he thought there was any plot against him, he would regularly just take people and randomly have them all murdered and have them all killed. He was a ruthless leader clinging to his legacy, and he wanted it to endure. And anything that opposed him, he was crafty. He was incredibly cunning, but he was also ruthless. He was Herod the Great. And this was the guy who had his palace 5 miles away from where Jesus was born. 5 miles from where Jesus was born, this dark, ruthless, dominant dictator had his kingdom established all around in the area. And these were very dark, very difficult, very evil times because the ruler of the day was Herod the Great. Now you might think we're living in dark days. These are terrible times. But I tell you, it was nothing like where Jesus was born. And where he was born into a ruthless, dark, helpless, hopeless situation. Can I get an amen? Amen for the ruthless darkness. Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem saying, where is he? Where is he who was born king of the Jews? Now there were people who came. They said, we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. I put it in there in big, bold blue, a collision of kingdoms. See, Jesus being born 5 miles away was a collision with the kingdom of this ruthless, cunning dictator, Herod the Great. Now, Herod the Great, he was an awful man, but there were three wise men who in the area of Iraq and Iran, the Persian kings, they studied the stars. They saw that there were significant things manifest in seasons when there was a shift in the cosmos. And they saw that there was about to be a significant change of rulership. The world, there was going to be a cosmic expression of a glorious king who would manifest his reign and his rule over the whole earth. And these guys, and in those days, if you were a king and a ruler and you understood that a great king was to be born, you would travel with great gifts, a caravan, an army, a great group of people would travel to pay homage, to worship, to bow down and say, we pledge our allegiance to this new king. They saw a sign that declared in the heavens, everything is about to change. When they got to Jerusalem, they figured, this is where the palace is. This is where the star has led us. This must be where the king is born. And when they got to Jerusalem, they came to find him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. When Herod the king, whenever Herod heard there was a challenge to his rule, he killed them. This guy hears, and all of Jerusalem is troubled. Say all. All of Jerusalem. This is like a city the size of London, Ontario, a bit larger than that. But the whole city was troubled. And you know why they were troubled? Because Herod was troubled. And if Herod's troubled, something's going to happen and it's not going to be pretty. If Herod's troubled, we're all in trouble. There's something going to happen. Herod heard that three kings have traveled. Now, if three guys on camels showed up in London, that would be a show. We'd think the circus came to town, right? But three guys with not just camels, but three kings, three leaders, three rulers, three people of substance have just showed up. And when a king traveled in that day, he would send in front of him engineers who would travel and they would smooth out the road. If they needed a bridge, they'd build a bridge. If they needed to blow up a mountain, they would find ways that would make the way straight and make it smooth. So you had all of these people from these three kingdoms show up at the doorstep of Jerusalem. You'd reckon that all of Jerusalem would be a bit freaked out if we found out that down in the White Oaks parking lot, the whole place is full. We've been invaded by three other kingdoms and they want to know where the king is. That's what's going on here. Herod, who has incredible power, incredible strength, has a Roman legion that he can call and be at his assistance. Herod the Great is troubled. There's a cosmic showdown. There's a collision of light and darkness. Are you tracking with me? But you, Bethlehem. So he called. Look what he said. He says he calls together the priests and scribes, and he says to them, come on, inquire and find out for me, where will the Christ be born? What did Herod immediately do? Listen to this. Listen. Herod immediately thought, you know what's going on? The Messiah is going to be born. Because what did he ask? Where will the Christ be born? Herod, the man Herod, that great evil dictator, he understood that the Christ, the incarnation, is going to take place somewhere in the neighborhood. That's what he's saying. Because he didn't say, where is there a kid born? He said, where's the Christ going to be born? So Herod had the bold audacity to think that he could stand and he could put his hand against heaven. He could stand against the God of the cosmos and say, not in my backyard. I'm going to protect my legacy. The only thing going to be remembered around here is Herod the Great. Do you follow me? It's right here in the scripture. Because he didn't ask, where's some guy going to be born? He said, where will the Christ be born? The Messiah? And he knew what he meant, because he was born. His father was a Jew. He was devout to the ceremonial foods and practices of the Jews. So he knew exactly what he was asking for. And when he asked these priests and scribes to find out where, they came back to him according to scriptures. And they said that in Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it says in the scriptures by the prophet, you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of the people of Israel. So Herod was looking for, where is the Messiah? Where is the incarnation? Where is God going to invade earth? Because I will stand against the light of glory. I will resist God invading my situation. Do you get that? How absurd is that? And that's how demented, how dark this ruler was. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, and what's amazing about this is, he asked them where it's going to happen. And the people who should have understood what was going on in their day, the people who should have been wise enough to know, the people who were looking for, it says they were looking for the Savior. They were looking for him. The people who should have known it was time had no idea what God was doing in their backyard. But three stargazers from another country showed up to lay down their lives. But one stubborn king said, not in here. And that's the question today. The question today and the question Christmas asks every one of us is, who will be king? And I want to know from you today, who will be king? Who will be king of your life? Every day when you wake up, do you worship him? Not sing him a song. Worship isn't singing a few songs before the preaching. Worship is where you lay down your life every moment, every day. The turkeys, they're worshiping at Christmas. They gave it all. I just want to know, what will you turkeys do? Pastor, we were doing really good there right until then. But you know, that is the question. The question of Herod was, the King of Glory is coming. And Herod, that human, ruthless individual, was so full of pride, he thought, I can resist the cosmic manifestation of the Redeemer of the world. Well, he's come. We know he's come. And we're talking about Jesus right now. Most of you don't know much about Herod, but you know about Jesus. And the whole world, they're worshiping Jesus all around the globe today. But Herod is just a footnote in history. But Herod then secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, hey, guys, this is awesome. This is great. You know, I believe I've found out that, isn't it awesome? This new wonderful king that we're all going to submit to. This new wonderful king that we're all going to lay down our lives for. Apparently, it's down Bethlehem way. And so, hey, you go find him. Come back and tell me so that I can join in and lay down my life. Emmanuel. Yeah, he'd lay down his life. He'd come and kill him. He wanted to destroy Jesus. Bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen, it went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That star stopped and shone right there over where that child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Isn't that great? Not just a rejoicing, not even exceeding rejoicing, but exceeding great rejoicing. And when they had come into the... Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? When you have substance yourself, but you know your greatest desire is, your greatest joy is, if there is a universal king being established, if there is a cosmic redeemer being expressed, if someone is coming to once and for all shine light into the darkness, you know what? It is a great joy for me. Exceeding great joy for me to lay down my life for the Savior of the world. They had exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and they kissed towards him. They prostrated themselves. They gave themselves. And then they brought gifts and said, we honor you as the King of Glory. And when they had opened their treasures and presented them to him, gold and frankincense. And we're not talking about little boxes. You got that little nativity scene where, here's a little box of gold. You're the King of Glory. You're going to rule the whole world. And you're so awesome. Here's a little, are you kidding? There were tractor trailers. You know, I think about Mary. Think about Mary. When she goes to Bethlehem. Like, I know. You know, I'm carrying an anointing. Did you know that? That the incarnation is still going on. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. God's seed is inside of me. God himself is in me. And you know what? I expect people to pay attention because I got God Almighty, the fullness of the Godhead living in me. You know, Mary was really carrying the destiny of mankind. She was carrying. She was bringing into manifestation. She was bringing an expression of the Godhead. God was going to take human flesh through a teenage little girl. And you would think, if that's the call of God on your life, you'd think that God would back that up a wee bit. You'd think that when you get all the way to Bethlehem, you tap on the Hilton five-star hotel with a beautiful pool and massage and get my nails done and get the best doctor in town to deliver this baby. Tap, tap, tap. We got no room for you. Hey, big fella, I'm giving birth to your son. You created all this stuff. You'd figure you could get me a room. I don't know. I'd be thinking that. God calls me to do something big. I figure this is going to be smooth sailing. This is going to be good. This is going to be easy, baby. Woo! I tell you, I'm a child of God. Glory to God. Move over, everybody. Woo! Here I come. You know, sometimes when you're carrying a massive destiny, it's not that easy. And she's bringing to birth. And where do they give birth? In a little cave. Damp, wet, messed up side of a cliff. I wonder if she's like, push, Mary, push. God, is this it? This is what it is to serve you? I'm just getting personal there because I'd have a few questions if I were Mary. But you know, a few years later, they're at home and they get a tap on the door and kings from three different kingdoms and nations show up with truckloads of buco dinero. So much that Herod was troubled. Herod the Great, who had legions of Roman armies at his bid and call, he was troubled because something had come into town. Somebody, something had happened, and he wasn't aware of it. He saw a threat to his very existence. Are you tracking with me? Show you a few pictures. Here's a picture. That's Herod right there. That's Herod, a couple of little, you know, manifestations of Herod the Great. Herod the Great, right there, Herod the Great. Josephus, a Jewish historian, he said this about Herod. Herod had an evil nature, relentless in punishment, unsurpassing in action against the objects of his hatred. That was what Josephus thought of Herod. Now, this fellow right here, this is Augustus. Augustus. Now, Augustus's first name was Octavian, and Octavian had a best friend named Mark Antony. And Mark Antony had a love of his life who was Cleopatra. Whoever said that was well over 50. Amen? Unless you're a real history buff, then you know Mark Antony and Cleopatra, right? I watched the movie. How many watched the movie? Hey, well, here's what Augustus had to say about Herod. He said, it's safer to be Herod's pig than it is to be his son. It's safer to be Herod's pig. Because you know what? Herod still practiced the Jewish ceremonial food laws, and he would never eat a pig. So if you were Herod's pig, you were safe. But if you were his son, he had 10 wives. And regularly he changed his will, and he regularly killed his sons because he was threatened that one of them may rise up and try to take his throne. So if one of his sons showed up and said, am I in the will? I don't want to be in the will, Dad. No, it's okay. It was safer to be a pig than one of his sons. This guy was a ruthless character and a ruthless individual. Now, here's these two. Who knows who that is? That's Mark Antony and Cleopatra. That's right there. Now, they're more familiar in this picture. There you go. Again, everybody over 50 laughed at that one. Amen. Who is that? That's Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. Again, not a single person under 50 got those answers right, right? But I mean, that's how I remember it right there, right? Those are great. You need to go onto YouTube, go somewhere and you watch these movies. You can get some great history. But Cleopatra and Mark Antony, they were very, very close friends of this guy named Herod. How many are excited about getting a lesson on Herod today? I didn't know this guy. I didn't know he was this important. He was a big deal. This was the dark dude who was dominating the culture where Jesus was born. This is what Jesus was born into. And they were very, very close friends. Mark Antony and Cleopatra and Herod were buddies. They were chums. And you see, when Julius Caesar was killed, Octavian and Mark Antony, they wanted to, you know, revenge his death. And they went around and killed everybody who took out Julius Caesar. But then, you know, two heads can't rule. So Octavian, he decided to change his name to Augustus. And he became the first emperor of everything. So he went and he took out Mark Antony, Cleopatra, and he destroyed all those people. Can I get an amen? Amen for the destruction of Mark Antony. Amen. How many of you are getting deep revelation here? Three people. So now, what's next? Augustus is getting ready to take out Herod. But Herod is so cunning. He is so crafty. He finds out that Augustus is on the Isle of Rhodes, and there on the Isle of Rhodes, Herod took a ship and went to the Isle of Rhodes, and here's Herod. If you know somebody's trying to kill you, you don't wait, you don't hide, you don't wonder about it, you go confront it, you go and tap on the door and say, hey, it's me, the guy you're trying to kill. He was so crafty, he was so cunning, Herod was brilliant. He was as brilliant as he was evil and just narcissistic and destructive. Here's what he said. This is from Antiquities. He says, I am come to rest my safety on my integrity. Augustus, they're all shocked. Can you believe this, Augustus? Herod, he just showed up. Unbelievable. Your greatest enemy right now, the friend of Mark Antony, who we've just destroyed, he showed up. But he showed up to arrest and to his safety and his security. So he said, I have come to rest my safety on my integrity. I'm not ashamed to declare my loyalty to Antony. But if you would disregard the individual, disregard Antony, and just be concerned about this, examine how I requite my benefactors. If you would examine how I treat people that I'm loyal to and I trust, forget about Antony, just consider me. Consider the manifestation of my loyalty. Examine that, how staunch a friend that I prove. Then you may know me by the test of my past actions. I hope that the subject of the inquiry will be not whose friend, but how loyal a friend I have been. And sure enough, Augustus is what this guy is as amazing as he is crazy. And you know what Augustus said? He said, good for you. And he gave him all kinds of more land, all kinds of more territory, and he made Herod the Great even greater. So this is the history. This is what was going on in the world when the King of Glory decided to invade mankind. When the King of Glory decided that he was going to come, there was so much going on. Just like today, we got Israel at war. We got Ukraine. We got all these things. We got all the bickering. We got all the polarization of our culture, all the struggles in our culture. All of this is going on. And yet we can get so dumbed down in the nonsense and the negative noise that we can miss that 5 miles south of the palace, the King of Glory is coming into manifestation. So Jesus wasn't born silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Angels flutter, flutter, flutter. Round John Virgin. I don't know if somebody said it was round John Virgin. He was the fat guy in the nativity scene. Round John. Mother. It wasn't that. It was crazy night. Reckless night. It's like hell. It's nothing but a fight. We don't know whether we're going to live or die. Every day is a struggle. There's darkness everywhere. And we can barely lift our heads. That's what was going on. But Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but the invasion of a broken world was a silent gift, silently given in the womb of a teenager, silently given in Bethlehem, not in the five-star hotel, not in a wonderful palace, but in a hole in the side of the wall. God said, that's good enough for my son. And God humbled himself and took on flesh and became a man. Settle down. Isn't it amazing how much God loves us? Isn't it amazing how much he was willing to humble himself to become one with us? The light shines in the darkness. It might have had incredibly vulnerable and humble beginnings. You would have wondered if a child born in a damp stable to a teenage girl would even make it through the week. But this was how the Savior of the world entered into our experience. There was a cosmic confrontation There was kingdoms colliding. Very few recognize it. Herod thought he could resist it. And that's my big question really is how are you going to approach Christmas? The King of Glory has come. How will you respond? What will you follow? Will you follow King Herod? Or will you follow the three wise men? Let's look at the three wise men really quick. You ready? Really quick. Some lessons from them. Number one, you got to be aware. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our lives, and I know sometimes life is tough. I've had some calls this week from people who are going through struggles, literally life and death. Some challenges on their lives, some challenges to their health, challenges in family and relationships and things. Man, I tell you right now, for some people right here in your community, it's tough. But I'll tell you, light shines in the darkness. No matter what it is, no matter what's going on, I'm telling you, it was ugly back then. It was ugly for the people of God back then. But God, most of them didn't know, very few even understood that God had a plan and it was already at work. They might not have known, but God had already united himself with mankind and his plan to redeem us was already finished. Emmanuel, God is with us. Some people just live every day reacting automatically. You get up. Did you know that you get up every day and you live in the past? You live in the past every day. You get up, you do the same stuff you always did. You travel the same way to work. You brush your teeth this side first, that side first. You get the soap. Some start with their chest. Some start with their head. Some start somewhere else. But you know, you do the same things. You habitually do the same stuff you always did. I shave first, then I brush my teeth. Then I gargle. You know, I don't gargle before I brush it. And you go through this mindless routine. And then you go grab this. You grab the same bit of yogurt, stir it up. And then you wander out the door, down, drive to work the same way you always drive to work. You know, you live in the past every day. A lot of people are just totally unconscious. But are you aware? Do you wake up every day? And do you pay attention? The first thing when your eyes open, do you greet the day? Do you greet Almighty God? Do you say, Holy Spirit, I love you. I worship you. You're my best friend right here today. We got an opportunity to change the world. I'm not going to live out of the past, but today you guide me fresh, guide me new, anoint me fresh. Let's do something significant. You know, so often we just continue in that mundane routine and we're reacting to things over and over instead of accountably responding in a working awareness of what God is doing. Be aware, be intentional every day. It says, and they came. Why did they come? They saw the star. They were aware there was a star, but it wasn't enough. Hey, look, something is shifting. Something is happening. Isn't that great? No, they didn't just look at it. They did something. They said, let's go. Let's get engaged in this. Let's bow ourselves. Let's give allegiance to that king. So be intentional. Be thoughtful. Be mindful. They came to worship him. Winston Churchill said, empires of the future are empires of the mind. You got to get your mind engaged. A mind is a poor thing to waste. Be thoughtful. Be mindful. Know what's going on. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Get your head out of this mess and lift yourself up into the heavenly realm. God is invading your circumstances every day. Every day is an incarnation. It's an incarnation. Every day. It's an incarnation where the Spirit of God is manifesting himself inside of you. Divine, wonderful things are manifest in the fleshly realm every day. Be intentional. Set your mind on things above. Be passionate. Come on, be passionate. Hey, you got to like the way Amanda worships. How many like the way Amanda worships? How many wish she would just settle down? Thank you, Sean. I say, you go, girl. I'll give you another bottle of water. You can intercede for me, too, you know. I'd have a stroke if I went that. Don't you love passion? Be passionate. It says, at its rising, we have come. At its rising, I mean, right away at its rising. Not we watched it for a while. Hey, that's really hung around for a while. Maybe we should do something. At its rising, they were passionate. They immediately did it. Romans 12:1, never, never. Say never. You know, never includes right now. Some people have stayed for the second service. We're in the first service. I gave them a detention because they were pretty miserable in the first service. So I said, suck it up, stay for the next one and be a little more excited. Never be lacking in zeal while the pastor is preaching. Never look dully and stoically at your telephone like you're playing a game instead of paying attention. Sorry, I stepped out of Romans 12. I was in 1 Thomas 1:1. Romans 12, 1, never be lacking in zeal in your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be passionate. Be determined. They went on their way. They were determined. I mean, Herod interrupted the whole thing, and he was kind of creepy, and that was a weird experience. He was kind of weird. Wasn't he kind of weird? They didn't seem too happy to see us. What's really weird is we know there's a king being born, and nobody else seems to know what's going on around here. This is a bit weird. It's a bit creepy when you come to where the king's supposed to be born, and the king doesn't know about it. I'm a little concerned about what's happening. No! They didn't let that trouble them. They didn't let that as soon as they walked out. Boom. They saw the star and they were determined, we're going to finish the job. Nobody likes starters. We like finishers. It's not how you begin. It's how you finish. Be determined. They went their way. Herod didn't spook them. Acts 20:24. None of these things move me. I will finish the race with joy. I'd give you detention, but there's not a third service yet. Number five, be joyful. We had a lot of joyful songs today. Didn't we have a lot of joyful songs? Hey, we had some joyful songs. I got it, I got it, I got it. Jen's got it, Sean's got it. I got it, I got it. I got it, I got it. Talking about the Holy Ghost, don't know how I got it, but I got it. I got it. I got it. They rejoice, not just joy, but exceeding great joy. They enjoyed, they engaged the joy of pursuing the Savior. Isn't that fun? It's great fun serving and pursuing the purposes of God. Paul was so excited. He wrote a whole book about joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Thank you, Judy. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. I'm telling you, come on. Church would be the happiest place in town. Because who doesn't have something to be joyful about? Hey, I mean, man, I tell you, the world was going to hell in a handbasket. It was a total mess. We had this nutty dictator, Herod. Is anything going to shift and change? 5 miles down the road, the King of Glory confronted the darkness of the world. The light of the world has come. It's Christmas. Come on, it's Christmas. You know what? The light shines in the darkness. Not it will, not it was, but right now. There is a light from heaven. There's a light of the glory, the light of the good news. The very life of God is available to you, quickening your life, transforming your circumstances right now. Who is king in your life? Number six, be a worshiper. And worship isn't the songs before the preaching. That's not what that is. That is a worship service. But God is not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. What is a worshiper? Those three kings didn't come and say, oh, we're so glad we came. We got a little song for you. Ready? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn. That's not worship. They fell on their faces and they brought great treasure and they said, we recognize you and we accept you. We bow and give complete allegiance to you, the King of Glory. And what did they bow to? A toddler. A toddler. And at the same time, Herod, when he found out these guys never, did those guys ever come back? Did we lose them? Who lost them? Where are they? When he found out that they didn't come back and weren't going to tell him where he was, you know what Herod decided to do? He decided to find out when they first saw that sign, and he said, every child, every male child under 2 years old, he sent his army down to Bethlehem, and they slaughtered every single male child under two. They went down, and if anybody stood in their way, they killed them too, and they slaughtered every male-born child in that whole region. And he did this. Herod did this with knowledge that he wanted to slay the Messiah. And there's generations being destroyed today because the devil still wants to destroy the seed of a woman because every single child has the potential to manifest the kingdom of glory. Jesus. And Herod, that darkness is at work today, but a light shines in the darkness. They were worshipers. They came, and God's not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. He's not looking for live turkeys. He's looking for the ones that are willing to lay it down for Christmas Day. Be transformed. Number seven, be transformed. They departed from their own country. They went another way. Say another way. Another way. I love this story. I love it because you know what? When you encounter the risen Savior. When you encounter Jesus as your Lord, you'll never be the same. When you encounter him like this, it will transform and change your life forever. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. A light shines in the darkness. A light shines in the darkness. An infant born in the stable, 5 miles away from Herod's palace, he has filled the earth with the light of his glory. A great, dark, ugly king could not resist the invasion of heaven. He did everything he could to try to destroy the coming of our Messiah. But Herod is a footnote in history, but Jesus is worshiped all over the world.